Let's return to This Week in America. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
Welcome back, everybody. This Week in America online, thisweekinamerica.us. Our guest on today's This Week in America, Clayton Porter, earned both a Bachelor of Science and a Master of Science degree in electronics engineering. He worked 36 years in various capacities and locations for the Defense Department, now retired and living in Southern California, and pursuing his first love, studying and writing about the Bible from the engineer's analytical perspective. Clayton has compiled three side-by-side comparison studies, the very first translations of the Holy Scripture into the English language. All of the original wording has been retained for accuracy and authenticity, but with the spelling of the very difficult-to-read Middle English updated to modern standards, so the reader can concentrate on the meaning of the Scripture as these early devoted scholars translated it instead of wayward spelling. Clayton Porter, author of Earliest New Testament Translations and Interlinear Comparison of the Six Earliest Translations Updated to Modern English, is our guest on This Week in America. Clayton, welcome to the program. Great to have you with us today.
Thank you so much, Rick. I'm very happy to be speaking with you today.
This is such a unique project, and we'll get into that during the course of the interview. Let's start with a little bit of background. Tell us a little bit about your writing experience and why, when you retired, you were able to pursue something that you've wanted to do all your life, which is take a look back at the Bible from your perspective as an engineer. Give us a little bit of background and why this became important to you.
Well, when I was fortunate enough to be able to retire, I all of a sudden found myself with a lot of time on my hands. And I'd become quite interested in the Bible a few years before I retired, and something just I know where the inspiration came from, but something just spurred me on to see if there wasn't something earlier than the King James that I might be able to refer to, just from an engineer's curiosity, just to see how much things that were done prior to the King James might possibly have been changed in the King James or later. So I went out searching the internet, doing lots and lots of searches, and discovered that there were many, many, many English translations of Scripture, up to 230 years prior to the King James, which, of course, piqued my curiosity. So I went searching for copies of these earlier translations that I might be able to look at side by side with the King James, just out of my own curiosity. And I found them extremely difficult to find, and the ones that I did find were written in very, very, some of them were written in very, very early renditions of the English language, in very, very early Middle English, which, if anyone has read it, is barely recognizable as the English we use today.
That is what's so impressive with what you've done. And talk about the challenge in going back and to doing accurate translations from what sort of awkward language, that was used at the time. How difficult was that? I mean, I can see this being a painstaking process that literally took hours, days, weeks, months to try to make some progress.
Yeah, well, actually, you stopped a little bit early, Rick. You should have carried that on into years.
I didn't want to exaggerate, but that was the next one. And then we'll get into decades and millenniums and the whole thing in trying to piece all of this together. This had to be, did you have any idea when you started how involved this process was going to be?
Well, let's see. I actually started this in, Now you're really taxing my memory.
Okay, yes. Years ago, I'm sure.
I actually started this back in about 2009. I started it just as a, it's hard to say just how long it took me to to get these first books compiled. I say compiled rather than written, because I basically took material from other places, not original material, and freshened it up and updated it so that it would be recognizable as today's English, so that people could read it. These first books, once I started working on the manuscript for the book, first one took, I think, about 3 years for me to finish.
It's just amazing when you think about the work that went into that, but you look at the finished product, and it is so helpful to people who, and I'm sure fascinated in the response that you get once they're able to read this and understand it, and again, focus not on the awkward language they're trying to get through, but focus on the meaning of what's there. The book series we're talking about is the earliest New Testament translations and interlinear comparison of the 6 earliest translations updated to modern English. Clayton Porter is the author and our guest on the program. His website is classicbiblearchive.com, where you'll find great information there and information on the book as well. And you'll find the information on the book wherever the usual places for books, but that is specifically the website that Clayton has. And it's interesting, on that website, you mentioned that you were not educated in a religious institution, and not having any formal religious training probably worked to your favor in this process. Talk about that, because it's an interesting perspective. You didn't come into this with preconceived ideas from years of teaching that you listened to growing up. You basically started what fresh with this and developed it.
Yes, Rick, that is exactly right. As you mentioned earlier, I did earn 2 degrees in electronics engineering from secular universities, so that helped to train me to be quite impartial and quite analytical and quite picky detailed in the way I went about my work. I hadn't really grown up in a strongly religious family. Once I was able to graduate and start working, I just found that I was more and more and more drawn to religion and to churches. But I never really felt comfortable in any church. I always felt that there was just, something not quite finished or not quite right, or just something not the way it could be. So I bounced around from one church to another, not really getting into any of them very deeply, until very, 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 very late in life. And I just said, I've done enough of this. I need to get serious about this and figure out just what it is that I should be believing. What is right out there? Why do I feel so uncomfortable? So I just started doing my research, and one thing led to another, and then that led to another. And eventually it led me into the recognition that there were many, many, many of these translations that no minister had ever even mentioned to me, much less talked about. And that, of course, piqued my engineering curiosity. How come that is? What are they trying to hide from me?
Exactly, yes.
That's basically what I was thinking. They've all been through seminary schools. They must know that these things exist. How come they're not telling me about them? Are they trying to hide something?
Exactly. And what we're talking about, if you just joined us, the book, Earliest New Testament Translations and Interlinear Comparison of the 6 Earliest Translations Updated to Modern English. Clayton Porter, the author, our guest. The website is classicbiblearchive.com. The book's available, of course, at Amazon and the usual places, but great information at that website as well. What did this process, this journey, mean for you and what you're searching? You talk to people who read reviews. For many people, what you've done has helped them strengthen their faith. Did that do that for you as well?
Absolutely, without question. Reading many of these older translations has done for me personally, it has helped me to understand many, many sections of scripture that I I simply could not understand reading the King James or the newer, more modern English translations. Just putting them all together and looking at all of them as a whole really helped me to understand things that I was just unable to understand before. And one of the motivations that really motivated me to keep plugging along and still motivates me to keep plugging along is the historical value of all of these older translations. People gave up their careers, they gave up their lives in many cases for their devotion to making this material available to the English-speaking world. And I think it's a travesty that none of our churches even bothers to mention them in passing these days. These are the historical foundation of what we have today in English scripture. We should at least be aware of them and, read them casually.
Yes, and you talk about the translations not done without the influence of kings, of popes, men dedicated to the task that gave up their lives, as you mentioned, to study and to bring it into the English language. So I guess what we should be somewhat skeptical when we're just getting somebody feeding us information on a translation, because that could have been influenced many, many years ago, centuries ago, by someone else.
It very well could have been, and in many cases I've found in much, much more thorough in-depth study than what is presented in these volumes, but I found that there are case after case after case of translations in Scripture that could have, and I think should have, been made much more accurately to the meaning of the underlying Greek or Hebrew words and phrases. They're just not as good as they should be.
What was your goal as you began this process, and do you feel you're on your way to accomplishing that? I know you have many works, other books that you've written, books that you're working on. What do you hope to accomplish with this particular compilation that we're talking about?
Well, let's see here now. My real goal in doing this is to, first of all, just to make the Christian world in general aware that the scripture in English didn't begin with the King James. It has a 230-year history of development prior to the King James. Many people are aware of that, but most people are completely unaware of that. That's the way it's presented in all of our churches, is the King James is the start of it all. Well, it isn't.
Yeah, most people think that that's when they hear that, they think that's the beginning, and it's so fascinating. Time going by way too quickly. I don't know if you can briefly talk about the chosen material for the comparison study. What all? We've mentioned the King James there, but there are a number of others, some that are extremely difficult to get a hold of. How difficult was it to go back again centuries ago and to get the New Testament?
Well, the oldest translation that I have in here is the John Wycliffe translation of the 1500s. It took me over a year to find one of those on the internet to use. It's so old that fortunately for me it's no longer under copyright because it's so old. William Tyndale is again quite old. The Geneva is quite old. All of these are. The Geneva translation, by the way, was the Tyndale and the Geneva translations were both so good that their translations found their way into the later King James.
Interesting.
But with the wording somewhat with the wording somewhat changed in the King James to match the poetic Elizabethan style of the time. The earlier ones were less focused on poetry and more focused on technical accuracy, which makes the read in parallel with the King James makes the King James in many places much easier to understand.
You do such an excellent job with this. It is such a unique look at Scripture and the New Testament. The earliest New Testament translations and interlinear comparison of the six earliest translated, updated to modern English, which makes it so helpful. What are you working on now? I mentioned the books that you've, the scholarly books that you've done, the books along this line. Are you working on a project currently?
Oh yes, I have one actively in process right now and three more in the advanced planning stages. After I did the earliest New Testament translations, I have already completed and published on Amazon the first five books of the Old Testament, known in Hebrew as the Torah, the Law. That's available right now. I am presently working on the historical, what I call the historical books of the Old Testament, covering basically the Exodus from Egypt and the time period basically up to the decline and fall of the Hebrew Empire.
I'm thinking retirement isn't so much a time void now for you, is it? I think you've got your schedule pretty full. This is almost maybe even beyond a full-time job. I'm thinking as soon as you discover something or get involved in a project, it's probably pretty difficult to turn that off. I would assume once you get going, it's full speed ahead. Is that pretty accurate?
Well, as I look back on it, Rick, I worked about an 8 or 9 hour day back when I was working. I'm now working about a 16 hour day.
You'll have to get a job so you can relax a little bit and take life easy. I know helping you get the message out is Reader's Magnet. What's that experience been like in working with Reader's Magnet?
Oh, Rick, I just cannot say enough good words about them. Any new author trying to become known, trying to get his work known, is just inundated with, frankly, a lot of worthless contacts from people interested in nothing more than how much of their money they can transfer into their own pocket. Reader's Magnet has not been that way at all. Their costs are extremely reasonable. They've been highly, highly professional. I could not possibly recommend them highly enough. I've been working with them for about a year now. It's only thanks to their efforts that we even got together today.
Yes, and I appreciate the effort to talk, to get us together so that we could talk about this, and I would love to do it again. There's so much that we can talk about. And just a little bit of background, and then I'll read the title again. Clayton has compiled three side-by-side comparison studies of the very first translations of Holy Scripture into the English language. All of the original wording has been retained for accuracy and authenticity, but with the spelling of the very difficult-to-read Middle English updated to modern standards, so the reader can concentrate on the meaning of the Scripture as these early devoted scholars translated it, instead of wayward spelling. That is so important because we can focus on what's important rather than awkward language we don't quite understand. We're talking about the earliest New Testament translations and interlinear comparison of the six earliest translations updated to modern English. The author is Clayton Porter, the book available at Amazon, of course, and you'll find information, a lot of great information at Clayton's website, which is classicbiblearchive.com. Clayton, the time has gone by way too quickly. Thank you so much for being with us on the program. Looking forward to doing this again. Excellent job. You've got hours. I'm sure you're going to be working today, so get back to work on research and keep us posted on what's coming up next. But thank you. It's been a pleasure. Thank you for being with us.
Thank you so much, Rick, for having me. I know you could have chosen a lot of other people And I really thank you for having me.
It has been our pleasure, and a very important program today, a very meaningful program. The book, Earliest New Testament Translations and Interlinear Comparison of the Six Earliest Translations Updated to Modern English. Our guest on the program, Clayton Porter, his website, classicbiblearchive.com. You can link on directly to his website by going to our website, thisweekinamerica.us.
You're listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton. More after this.